So we have a special guest speaker, Tim Harrison. I was going to think, how do I introduce Tim Harrison? He's known by so many here, but if you don't know him, he was a youth pastor here for many years. I can now consider him an international evangelist. He goes to Peru, Africa. I don't even know where else he goes. He goes all sorts of places. But I actually get to go camping with him. So this is pretty fun. Our families go camping together, and I just thought I'd share a couple stories. He was the official camp dad judge this year at our camping trip. So it was between me and Jeremy Eisted, and we're trying to figure out who's the number one camp dad. So the most manly camping dad of them all. And he judged us very harshly, and I won. So since he, thank you, Tim. He's clapping for me. So we had many feats of strength, who could fix the most stuff. We also had a knocker ball challenge. If you've heard of knocker ball before, these giant inflatable balls, and you run at each other. And Tim, we were going crazy in these things, and Tim did this running jump and hit me and knocked me over, and I was bleeding profusely from my hand for most of the day, so that was pretty good. We went on this giant inflatable water thing together, and he turned into a little kid where he was jumping all over and frolicking, and like, this is the international evangelist here, folks. And he's done some pretty amazing things. So he's also really good at marketing. He has a marketing business that helps support him and his family. And so he's done so many different things. He's such an incredible preacher and teacher of the word. He always comes with an interesting way of presenting it. And so, Tim, come up here and give whatever God's got on your heart.
Thank you. I appreciate that you said I turned into a kid. I do travel, and in most countries, when you travel and preach, they call you a man of God, and I correct them sometimes. Sometimes I let it go, but I say, you know what? I don't have a problem with it, but I'm like, it doesn't call me that in here. It calls me a child of God. So I'd rather be a child of God than a man of God if I have my way, and then I get to have some fun along the way. Whoops. Like this. Like I get to spill water all over 300 people. Ah, amen. Well, welcome everybody. It's nice to see the faces that I can. I got a bit of a confession to make to you today. And that's that I'm not really a fan of big church. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with big churches or big church. I'm just telling you, doesn't fit my personality fully. I like living room church. I get more excited about sitting in a living room, just sharing life with people and talking about Jesus, than I do standing in front of a bunch of people. And I have stood in front of a bunch of people. Last year, I preached in the biggest church I've ever preached in, and I won't tell you how big, so I don't want you to get too impressed with me. That was some groaning out there. There, thanks, Linda. Linda's my resident heckler. But that's good, because, I mean, God loves big church. I'm not saying there's something wrong against big church. I'm just telling you who I more am and my personality. And so today, it's tough on these times because it's like, this is a big church. Just so you know, this church started in the living room. It was a living room church. Not since, I've been going here since 1982. I couldn't tell you where we were in 1982. I don't remember. But today I just felt to do something a little bit different, because I'm like, I don't want to preach today. I'd like to just do a little bit of a Bible study, and then I'd like us just to do what we're talking about, if that's okay. So for you that like the seat that you're in every single week and like things set exactly the way they are, congratulations, I'm not the pastor of this church. You get me usually once in the spring, once in the fall. But today, I just think of the message that's on my heart and what I want to see through it. Could we just try to bring this into living room? What would be the difference to me? I mean, big church, lots of things going on, lots of people. You don't always get to say hi, but it's in smaller settings you can have more of a family feeling and just discuss and just talk. And I want to talk with you guys about the rest of God today. God's rest. And so, since we're a family, I do have a question that if you could be honest this morning, how many of you would say, I walked into church today with some heaviness on my heart? There's some stuff going on in my life, and it's weighing heavy on my heart. Do you mind just being bold? Don't worry, you weren't the only one. Just keep that hand up. There you go. There. So I hope you're in the right place then for what we're sharing. So since it's a Bible study, if you guys can open your Bibles, Bible apps count. We're going to look at Hebrews 3 and 4. And to look at Hebrews 3 and 4, what you'll find is there's actually a theme that's been tied through all of Scripture. And Hebrews 3 and 4 ties in Scriptures from the Old Testament. So to look at Hebrews 3 and 4, we're actually looking at Genesis 2. We're looking at Exodus 17. We're looking at Psalms 95, Psalms 103. And what's happening is it's tying in this story that's been going on for a long time all around the topic of rest. And in chapter 3, verse 7, it says, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness, where the ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. What he's referring to there was about the Israelites. And if you know the story about Exodus, it actually was a major event, not just in Scripture, but in history, that our world is still different because of that event. I don't know if you've heard much about Israel lately, but we always hear about Israel, right, in the news. Well, that ties way back. Our earth is still affected by stuff that happened in the Exodus thousands of years ago. And what happened is you have the people of God who were in slavery in Egypt, which is a prophetic type. It's a picture of us being enslaved by a fallen, sinful world. And then it's God calling them into a place of rest, the promised land. And there was a journey to get there. And along the journey, you had a lot of interesting things take place. But ever since day one, you find God, you find miracles. You find him doing supernatural things to make a way for his people to enter this land that he had promised them. The promised land flowing with milk and honey, the land of rest. And so what they're referencing in Hebrews 3 was a time where the people were thirsty and they were complaining and they were starting to go after Moses. They actually got to the point where they wanted to stone Moses, which is interesting. Poor Moses. This guy was just tending sheep, minding his own business. Then he sees an act of arson. And he goes to check it out, and it changes his entire life. He did not want to go read it. He argued with God. Five specific excuses he gave. No, don't say. He kept trying, and then God finally was like, enough of it. You're going. He didn't want to be there. So now we find him further in the story, and he's been faithful to what God showed him to do. You have him miraculously seeing all these things. We call them the plagues of Egypt, what it took for a hardened Pharaoh to finally say, okay, go ahead, as you see Moses time and time again, let my people go, let my people go. So now they're gone. Then you see them at the Red Sea. And again, it seems in the natural that things are not in their favor. And God miraculously parts the sea and they walk through. And he saves his people. He continuously guided them specifically. But they had to rely on heaven for that guidance, not on earth. But you find that even though they had the promise, even though they had this call to a place of rest, even though they actually were guided where they could see, it says a pillar of fire in front of them, they were more caught in what God wasn't doing than in what he was doing. And out of that, bitterness came. Out of that, complaining came. Out of that, this word unbelief came. Which, if you read through in Hebrews 3, it says, God finally says, in my anger, you will not enter my rest. Why? Because they didn't believe in who God was for them. And there's an interesting phrase that's used here, and you see it in Psalms, the passages I referenced, where it says, Moses knew God's ways. Israel knew his deeds. You say, well, what's the difference between a way and a deed? It's a big difference. Israel knew his ways, and they were kept out of God's rest. Moses knew his deeds, and something was different. It was Moses who they were wanting to kill, but it was Moses who kept providing the way for them, the mediator between God and the people of God. And Moses had this, in Exodus 33, he has this special tent called the Tent of Meeting. And it says when he set it up, he'd go in, a cloud would come down, and he would meet with God face to face as a man speaks with a friend. And as you follow some of that story, you start to see the relationship that Moses had with God and the intimacy that he had with God. And you recognize that Moses didn't just know about God, but Moses knew God. He didn't know just his deeds, he knew his ways. He knew how God operates. And I asked you this morning, how many of you guys came in with a heavy heart, with something going on in your life, right? I woke up with some anxiousness on my heart. And it's not about whether there's stuff going on in your life right now that you have reasons to be anxious over or you have reasons to be burdened over. It's about what are you doing with it? Because this place of rest doesn't exist on earth. Do you know that? Do you know that God created an earth that was at rest, and then it fell? And ever since that time, the earth hasn't been at rest. God created it, and he said, that's it, I'm at rest. But then when it fell, it's not at rest. Why? Because sin entered it. You know all that bad stuff isn't God? Do you know that? Because not everybody does. He gets blamed for a lot of bad stuff by people that know his deeds but don't know his ways. But we just sang about the goodness of God. You're a good, good father. You're perfect in all of your ways. And what I want to bring attention to today is it's one thing to sing it, but it's another thing to live it. I want to ask, do you know how to live it? And I'm not saying this as a condemning word, not at all. I'm saying it hopefully as an invitation into the promised land rest of God. Because on the earth, we hear these phrases all the time like inner peace. We're seeking after inner peace. I just need to settle into the rhythms. There's a lot of exploring. Have you noticed that? A lot of exploring of trying to get something settled on the inside. And so people are going to a lot of different things. But the problem is, if you're going to it in an earth realm, the earth's not at rest. For you to get rest on earth, you need to remove everything that's creating a problem, that's robbing you from being settled. And the problem with that as a Christian is to do that, you probably can't be around people. And if we're really honest, we might not even be able to be around ourselves. There is no rest on this earth in the season that we're in. But Jesus is rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And I've been around the church for a long time. I told you 1982 I started going here. And as God's taken me on a journey in my life, I've become more and more understanding of how easy it is to live as a Christian without Jesus. That when the unrest of life hits you, to handle it just like I would handle it if I didn't have Jesus. There's some pretty crazy issues going on right now in people's lives, even in this room. There's sickness, there's marriage things, family stuff, broken relationships, there's financial. There's a lot of reasons for there to be unrest in this place. Because we live in a fallen earth and a fallen season. But again, my question to you is if you could be at that time with the Israelites, would you know his deeds or know his ways? Would you miss all the things God is actually doing to prepare the way for you to enter into that rest? Because you're focused on what he isn't doing. You're going, where's the water? Where's the food? Instead of knowing his ways and saying, God, it's crazy out here. Have you been to Earth lately? It's kind of nuts down here. Look at what's happening. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it, but I know you're good. And I know that in heaven, it's rest right now. You're not in a position of stress and anxiety. You're not concerned and worried about what's happening right now the way that I'm feeling tempted to. And what I want to encourage you in this morning is to say, can we just take an honest look at our lives and recognize, are we singing the songs or are we living the life? Do we say we believe in a God who is good, but then when all of a sudden there's testing or there's a battle or there's some unrest in our lives, we just don't know how to handle it? And what I want to do with you guys this morning is just start taking steps to show you how you handle that. Do you know what's kind of interesting? I don't know what your understanding of church history or even what's happening in the church today, but the church, it's hard to find an example of the church doing well in excess. But church under persecution does very well. And the church that's in my heart and the church I see in Scripture is often a church that's under persecution. And even today, if you guys, there's videos on the internet if you want to watch them about what's going on in Iraq with the church, China, Afghanistan, you get reports from North Korea. These are places that none of you are probably vacationing this winter, correct? But those are also places that you're going to see something. You're going to see the church. And see, what was happening in the book of Exodus was there was a preparation and a fashioning going on that was preparing Israel to be able to live in a land of rest. It was actually how they went through the process determined whether or not they'd be able to handle a land of excess. And I'm not telling you that God is causing all these terrible things to happen. I already explained it. The fall caused that. God is actually working miracles in your life right now. And now he's just waiting to see, are you going to know my ways or my deeds? Because you can't follow my deeds, you won't understand them I operate at a higher level of intellect than you do. It's not about understanding everything he does. It's about knowing him. And it's in the knowing that there's a trust relationship. Do you think Moses had a clue what he was getting into with the burning bush? Do you think he saw everything in his future? Do you think when he stood in front of Pharaoh, he knew that even throwing down the staff was going to work again? He's like, well, turned into a snake once, told to do it again. Do you think he knew? Or do you think he had to trust every step of the way? But yet it was Moses. Moses didn't have water in that moment too. But he knew where to get it. He positioned himself with a good father who he knew. And he pulled into that. And because of it, he was able to journey through in that process. You say, well, he didn't enter the promised land. I'm like, that's right. He got caught. But Joshua and Caleb did. And here's what's interesting. I know I'm skipping over because I have to, just for time, I have to assume that you know somewhat of the story. If you don't, you can read it all in Exodus after. But that whole generation got cut out of the promised land. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. Why? They were the only ones that had faith when it mattered. And faith wasn't denial. They didn't deny that there were giants and big battles in that land. But they saw past it to a God who was good. They looked into their history and they saw it with the right perspective. They were able to see where God had always provided the way. And out of that, it had developed a relationship. Moses had a tent, but Joshua hung out there a lot. And Joshua was able to take that relationship to go into the land and to win some battles. And this morning, church, I have good news for you. That Jesus has already won the battle. I heard someone say once that Christians get to start from the finishing line. Because Christ spread his arms and said, it is finished. What's going on in your life that Christ doesn't have the answer for? What has power over Christ in your life? I mentioned some things. Do they have power over Christ? Or is there an opportunity for you to learn how to walk in the land of rest through living in the land of unrest? You say, Tim, well, how do you do it? This is where we get practical. Are you ready? All right. Andrew, where's my tinkle, tinkle keyboarder? There needs to be an understanding of what makes you you. So you can be able to discern how to live this out the way God is actually preparing it for you, and how to live it out like you would if you didn't have Jesus. And that's understanding that you were made up of three parts: a body, a soul, and a spirit. This body, excuse me, isn't you. That's why you leave it here when you go. The Bible calls it your tent. You live in this thing, which is just a weird thought, that you've actually never seen yourself. But you have a spirit. That's who you are. And your spirit, according to Ephesians, is in heavenly places right now, seated in Christ at the right hand of the throne of God in a place of rest. But you also have a soul. And your soul is kind of the mediated place between heaven and earth. And your soul decides where it's going to live from. And if I can look into your life, or you can look into mine, and you see me living as somebody who isn't a Christian, then you know what I'm living from. I'm living with Earth's resources, with Earth's reasonings, Earth's logic, and hoping it gets better. The problem with that is there's too much out of my control. I'm not powerful enough here on Earth to control everything in my life to bring it to a position of rest and to be settled. But Jesus is my Sabbath rest, and my spirit is in him. And so if my soul will live from that position, all of a sudden everything becomes different. And you say, oh good, my problems go? No, they probably will increase. The rest I'm talking about is what I see in Jesus when he can sleep in a boat in a storm. When he can stand in front of a group of people and he knows that they're plotting to kill him. But yet his message and his delivery don't change. Have you ever thought about that? What would some of you get so scared just to tell someone you're a Christian? What if you knew that what you were about to say would give them more reason to plot your death? That's a little anxiety invoking, is it not? The rest and the peace I'm talking about is where in Acts 7 you have Stephen, who's known as the first martyr, first one killed and persecuted after Christ. And he gives this amazing message to the religious leaders, and then he just goes for the throat. He rebukes them, and then they drag him outside. And he's not going, oh no, I didn't mean it. He looks up and he goes, I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in another world. Why? Because he had learned how to live from heaven and not from earth. He had learned how to live from a position of rest. And guess what? It didn't go good for him on earth. They killed him. I'm not saying if you take my teaching, someone's going to kill you tomorrow. I'm saying that let's get rid of the fluff and the pretend, and let's really ask ourselves some honest questions. Do we know the ways of God? Are we being fashioned into the rest of God? I don't want persecution. Jesus didn't either. He had a moment. Read about him in the garden. He was anxious. He was stressed to the point that said sweat fell like drops of blood, and he needed angels to come and minister to him. He had a lot to be stressed about. But from that position, I believe he moved into rest. Why? Because he was very peaceful after that, even though nothing had happened yet. You realize he healed a guy's ear? Like, in the natural mind, you're getting arrested. You're like, oh, just a second, I'm going to stop and just do a quick miracle. Like, you're living from a different place. You get that? It's not about what's happening here. It's about what's happening there. And we've been trained in how to live from here. But I believe God's calling us to a season and to a land of rest that isn't about production like the Western world. It's not about striving like religion teaches you. It's about abiding. It's about knowing him. It's about taking whatever's going on in your life and filtering it through heaven. And as you do it, you position your soul to feed from the right place. Do you know that your soul eats? It's always eating. It will eat from earth, it will eat from heaven. If you let your soul eat from earth, do you know if you have some unknown thing about to happen in your life, which means like you're not sure how this is going to go, like speaking for, I'll tell you how it works for me, speaking today. It's like the thoughts of my earth mind want to be like, oh, you're probably going to blow it. It's probably not, you know, I don't know if I'm blowing it. I don't care because I'm in rest. right? But there's anxiousness behind it. And it's always negative. Maybe sometimes positive, but the negative is always loud. It will give you 100 scenarios that are all bad. And those scenarios produce unrest in your soul. But all the while, Jesus is in a restful heaven. Hey, bro, it's different here. You should come live from this place. You'll start seeing things differently. And now problems change for you, because now they're not problems. It's just another opportunity for you to be refined in your soul to live from this place of heaven. This is repentance, change of thinking. This is mind renewal, Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Too many in church right now are going outward, behavior modification. They're going, all this, I got to get better, I got to get... No, that's not the gospel. Gospel starts inside and moves its way out. You go spirit, soul, body. Not body, soul, spirit. And so you're settled right now. You are, whether you believe it or not. But that was the point for the Israelites, wasn't it? Do I believe it? And they didn't. And they were kept out of it. Seemed pretty serious then. Is it just as serious now? I think more so. They didn't have Christ the way we have Christ. They didn't have the finish line like we had the finish line. What am I saying? I'm saying he defeated sickness. He defeated torment of the soul. He defeated death of the spirit, which is eternal damnation. He defeated it all. You're like, well, I don't see it all defeated. I'm like, because you're looking at earth. Look at heaven. And the more you look at it, the more you'll see it here on earth. It's called bringing heaven to earth. So if I look at my soul, and I do all the time, I'm like, you got problems, soul. I can pinpoint those problems to what I've been feeding it. The thoughts and the heart exist in the soul realm. Your thinking and your emotions exist in the soul realm, and they work interchangeably. All your emotions are tied to a thought. Do you know that? So you gotta go, is my thought truth or a lie? Here's my thought. I have cancer. I'm going to die. Is that true or is that not true? For a lot of people on the earth, it's true. But what's heaven saying? The thought is, my wife and I cannot stop fighting, and I don't know if I love her anymore. I don't know. I think it's better for everybody if we just split. That's the thought. Truth or a lie? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just inviting you into the land of rest with Jesus, King of Kings, who has answers for all of that. And he won't tell you the way you think. And he won't guide you the way you want. It's not time today to open up everything going on in my life, but I'll just let you know. The more I enter into rest, the crazier my life gets. The more unrested. And I used to know this teaching, but I'd probably live it for a month and pull out for a month. I kind of just kind of weave in and out. And then pressure came on. And then I saw it was either kind of do or die. Moved into weekly, then daily. I'm now at hourly. So I'm not walking this out perfectly, but I've been in a process. And the more the pressure's on, the more beautiful it is. The more problems in my life. My wife and I don't know if we jumped off the edge, but we're leaning like this. People ask me, oh, what's going on, Tim? How are things going? I don't have an answer for them. I don't know. I don't know what next month. I'm supposed to be in two different countries next month. I haven't even booked the plane tickets. I don't even know if I'm supposed to, if I will. I'm at the end of this month, I haven't even booked for. I don't know what's going on. But I know his ways. And I know there was stuff in my heart that needed to go. And I knew him enough to know that he was good. No matter what happens, I don't know how things in my life are going to turn out, but I just know that the more I know him, the more it's going to work out, however it looks. The more I can just strip off everything that isn't him and just get in under the shadow of his wings, the more I know it will just be okay. So I recognize my soul trying to eat the lies. I say, no, I'm feeding it heaven. What does that look like? It's what we're about to do. Do you know that it's not about reading this book? It's about living it. The Pharisees showed us that they had it memorized and they missed the point when he was standing right in front of them. A lot of people in this room, and don't worry, I've been there and I'm still there in moments. Stuff is happening in life, and you just haven't learned how to just sit with a good father and eat truth with your soul. And you'll know this if you're like me. I know I'm out of rest because either I'm too busy for him, too busy even just to sit, or if I'm like, okay, I know it's important, I'll sit, and then I'll read, and it'll just be like, I don't even have a clue what I'm reading. And I'll be like, okay, slow down, come on, and I'll read. Okay, over. There's such a push in my soul of like, hurry up, finish the chapter, and then you can check it off. That's not Christianity. That's a deeds life, not a ways life. So if you want, people ask from time to time, Tim, how do you study the Bible? How do you know the Bible? I'll tell you. And we're going to do it. Okay. I just read a verse. That's all I can handle. And then I chew it. Which means I think about it in my soul, in my thinking, in my mind. I think about it over and over again. I'll go weeks. Why? Because what's happening is I'm turning it over in my soul. I'm eating and I'm growing off of that truth. It's exposing the lie and it's transforming something in me where I'm living from a different position. I'm living from a different understanding. I'm living from truth. And then always, there's breakthrough. There's a line right now in a song, Dallas City Mavericks, I think their name is, and it goes, I'm losing my religion to be loved like a child. My soul's been chewing on that for 2 weeks. I'll be driving in the car and it will hit my soul. And I'll be like, ah. And I'll just go over the line. And guess what's happening as I'm chewing on it? I'm eating it. I'm losing my religion and being loved like a child. The very thing I'm eating is becoming. The truth that I'm feeding on, I'm being transformed into. I'm not striving. That's not rest. That's religion. I'm allowing Jesus to be my Sabbath rest and to produce a soul that's in rest no matter what goes on. I don't know what my future looks like. But I know him. So this morning, would you humor me enough? I know that we get, whoever wants to come to church comes, and that you're, I'm very happy that you're here. I have no clue what people's backgrounds are understanding. If this is weird for you, let it be weird for you. Weird just means different to me and doesn't mean wrong. And I'm weird. And Jesus is weird. Stuff in the spirit is weird. From Earth's perspective, there's a lot of weird things. I talk a lot to the sky. Can I say that? From Earth's perspective. Colossians 3:2 says, 1 and 2 says, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's what we're about to do. Talked about your soul, and in it is your heart and your mind, your thinking and your emotions. They intertied. They can either drive you to places of stress, anxiety, which then drive to addictions, to a bunch of stuff. And addictions can just be busyness. An addiction can be Netflix. I've been there. Nothing wrong with doing things, watching a show. But if it's because I don't know how to be at rest in my soul, I'm in the wrong spot. You get that? So every day I wake up and I do a soul test Where's my thoughts and where's my heart? Where's my thinking and where's my emotions right now? And if they're off, I just do what we're doing right now. Nothing. I sit and I put on music and I do nothing. But I just let him speak. My only job there is to make sure my mind doesn't lead. My thinking doesn't steal, rob the time of rest that I'm entering into. And then I get into a position of rest, and then I go about my day. If something happens in my day and I get pulled out of rest, I go back into that spot. I've been at that very intentionally for 6 months. And I am not perfect with it. But I told you, we're now down to hours. Why? Because that's how it works. Works that way for me, works that way for you, works that way for everyone. Transformation as your soul feeds on truth. You have a good, good Father who is perfect in all his ways. He has never let you down once. He has never not been for you. He has never withheld from you for your destruction. The path that he has in front of you is a path of goodness, a path of destiny. But that's not earth talk. That's heaven talk. I'm not telling you you'll have a luxury yacht. I'm telling you you'll have an eternity of knowing the Father. I'm going to ask that you just close your eyes. This kind of is the altar call, but let me say this. I've been in times in my life where I couldn't just sit and rest. I needed people. I had gotten too caught up in life, in the unrest, that it was I wasn't able to pull out of it very quick or easily. And so if after this time you're like, that was, I believe it, there's belief. I'm not in unbelief. I'm moving towards it, but man, is it ever still there? And I'm telling you, you can feel it. Right here, I feel it. Can feel the settled. I am just settled in heaven right now, settled in his love, settled in peace. But if you're like, Tim, I know I'm really struggling to get there, we're going to pray for you after too. We're going to stand with you in that, okay? But right now, I'm just going to ask, just close your eyes. As Andrew prays, I'm going to read Psalm 103. And you don't have to pay attention to what I'm saying. Just pay attention to your heart. And I'm going to say for some of you, if you're like me, it's going to be hard just to still your mind. And I'll say that's just because you've learned how not to. So we're just showing you a different way to live. Still your mind and let nothing happen on earth. As your soul opens up to heaven to feed on what he's saying. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we set our heart and our minds on you right now. We push aside every thought, every worry, every concern. It doesn't take the front seat right now. But I speak, I say, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise you, Jesus.